It's good to be alive today, and it's good to know the Lord. And we're going to continue now our study in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading with verse 1. Paul writes, "I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering or patience, bearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all." That's Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us as we look at His Word. Father, today we need to understand Your Word, and we pray that by the Holy Spirit You'll make it come alive to us. Bless those who listen. We thank You for each one who is listening to Your Word today. And we give our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Last week we were beginning a section of chapter 4 that deals with unity and maturity in the church. This is the goal of the church, and we see this in the first 16 verses of chapter 4. We talked about the needed attitude there must be if there's going to be unity in a fellowship of Christians. There has to be a right spirit. There has to be humility. There has to be meekness. There has to be patience. There has to be forbearance. Because we're all sinners. We're all marked by failure. And consequently, we're going to be mingling with people. We're going to be rubbing shoulders with people who simply are not perfect. And because of this, there will be many times when there will be things that will irritate. There will be things that will cause perhaps hurt feelings. So in a fellowship of Christians, there must be a spirit of constant forgiveness, of constant openness with one another, patience, realizing that here we're all together, imperfect people, but with a goal before us, of living for God and pleasing Him. The Lord's very patient with us, isn't He? And we need to be more patient with one another. So if there's going to be unity in the church, there must be love. There must be this spirit. It can't be just a hard, cold, ruthless attitude toward our brothers and sisters in the Lord. There must be compassion. There must be patience. There must be forbearance. And this is so vital, so vital. Many times Christians, I'm afraid, groups of Christians are marked by a spirit of petty bickering and pride and selfishness, and it's a terrible testimony to the world. The Lord prayed that they all might be one. The Lord said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And this must be the spirit that we strive for as a fellowship of Christians. So that love here, a right spirit, is very vital to preserve unity. Now verses 4 to 6, he talks about the unity of the faith. A right spirit does not produce unity. It isn't the basis of our unity. But truth, as Christians, is the basis of our unity. In other words, a Christian is not simply someone who has nice, warm feelings, who's emotionally sympathetic, and who is just a nice person. You know, some people seem to just be born nice. They're just gentle, they're sweet, they're kind, and others are just born kind of irritable and unpleasant. Their temperament is such. But really, just being nice, just being kind is not the basis of Christian fellowship. It's not the basis of our life. There is truth that we as Christians must believe in order to be truly Christian. Now, people are very confused on this, and many will say, well, here's this Hindu who's such a kind, compassionate person, so nice, he must be a Christian. Or here's this one who'll say, who's a Muslim, who's just a very nice person, a moral person. Surely they're a Christian too. Well, people like that may be well-meaning, but they're misinformed. Christians are those who believe something. They're not only people with nice personalities and people that are very kind and, you know, make good neighbors, the kind that will come over to help you if you need help. If your lawnmower is broken down, you can borrow theirs or this kind of thing. It's nice to have neighbors like that. I don't mean to in any way disparage that, but nevertheless, that does not make a Christian. A Christian is someone who believes certain things about God and about Jesus Christ. If you believe the wrong things, you may be a nice person, but you are not a Christian. And the Bible says, unless you believe right things about Jesus, your soul will be in hell forever. And so here he talks about these things, these truths, that Christians believe. What do we believe with regard to the Holy Spirit? And he begins here. He says, there's one body, one spirit, even as you were also called in one hope of your calling. There is truth concerning the Holy Spirit and concerning his work that Christians believe. He says there's one body. Something that Christians believe is that really all true believers are part of one body. There's not a, quote, Jewish church and a Gentile church. There's not a black church and a white church. There's not an Indian church and a Chinese church. In the Lord Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, he says, neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female as far as our relationship with the Lord. We're all one. There's one body. And Christians then, he says, believe this. There is one body, and we cling to this truth. And the, of course, what makes this one body is the Holy Spirit who indwells all. And I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and notice here how he speaks of the formation of this body. He says in verse 12, as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, slave or free, were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, what unifies my body? Well, you have to say that there's one life. There's one life principle that courses through this whole body of mine. And this is what gives it unity. This is what gives it life. This is what binds it together. There's a common life that unites my body. My finger has the same life flowing through it as my foot does. And my head has the same life in it as does my hand. The whole body is expressing that same life. Every member, every part of this body shares in this one life, my life. Now, those who are Christians, who have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior, are inhabited by the Holy Spirit. He says there's one Spirit, one body, one Spirit. One Spirit, one Holy Spirit who indwells this whole body and gives it life and draws it together so that the members instinctively feel we are part of this same body. Now, this is a very interesting thing to realize and to experience. I was going through Wichita, Kansas one time not too long ago, and I had to stop and make a telephone call. And I began talking to a a man in the store there where I used the phone. He was a black man who had this particular store. And as we talked, I discovered he was a Christian. And right away you felt this bond and this closeness. We were one. There was the same life principle in that man, I'd never seen him before, as there was in me. And instinctively you felt that unity, that oneness. And so he says, Christians, believe this. Real Christians believe that this is the teaching of the scripture, that there's this one Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who indwells every Christian and forms this one body and unites us all together. And of course, this is why it's such a tragedy when there's division among Christians. This is why it's a tragedy as you look at the denominational scene and you see this church and that church and the competition, the strife, and all that goes on between. And it's a denial, really, of this truth of the one body. And it's a tragic thing. And the world isn't impressed one bit by our Christianity as it sees the strife and division among Christians. So that here, as we remember, this is a truth we believe, and all Christians at least give lip service to this. But how sad that oftentimes in practice, it isn't expressed. It isn't seen. We have prejudice. We have pride. There may be race prejudice. And this is something God hates. If we look down on anyone else because of his color or because of his education or anything else, it's showing partiality, it's sin, it's denying the fact that all are sinners on the same footing before God, and we all need redemption. And those who are saved are then brought into the family of God and are on the same footing. There's no difference. It's a wonderful truth, and it's something that we need to cling to, we need to emphasize, and we need to rejoice in the truth of this one body. I hope that you can say, I'm a Christian. I've received the Lord Jesus. And I'm a part of this one glorious body made up of all Christians, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, because we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we accept the Lord Jesus. Indwelt by that Holy Spirit and looking forward to the time when Christ will come back and when this one body made up of people from all the different races, the various tribes, the various nations of the world, when all will be gathered together around the Lord Jesus as one body.